Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Every time you eat or drink, you are either fueling or fighting disease. Now, that's a simple sentence, but it inspired my next guest to live her life the way she does, and she is trying to get us to do the same. Jess Redden is a pharmacist, a qualified PT, and has a degree in psychology and more than a little interest in holistic health, which she shares with her 80,000 Insta followers. Jess, how is it going?
Great, thanks. Thanks for having me in this morning.
So I'm going to start by saying I can't cook. I'm just going to be brutally honest. I would burn a boiled egg. I'm really bad.
What's your go-to meal if you had to cook one?
Tea and toast.
Okay.
So that's what we're dealing with here, which is why I'm really interested to talk to you about your book, because I have a 2-year-old and I am actively trying to change my attitude towards food for his sake. So I want to start with a question about supplements and multivitamins, because chemists are full of them. I rely on them personally quite a lot because of my attitude towards cooking. So are they a solution to problems, or are they just part of the puzzle? Like,
I think with the advent of social media, I think supplements and things like that, they've become so much more popular, more so now than ever. But what I would say, there's definitely a role for certain ones. So say, for example, women, all women of childbearing age should be taking their folic acid, and then everybody in this country needs their vitamin D supplements. So there's definitely a role for them. But if you're buying kind of like multivitamins and tapping into that kind of thing, just be mindful of where you're getting your information. Always choose like reliable sources and reliable brands as well.
So would your pharmacist be the one to help you with that?
Definitely.
Or yeah,
definitely.
Okay. Because I always feel like I do take a multivitamin, and the sign for me that I'm probably relying on it too much is I find if I stop taking my multivitamin for a couple of weeks, I really notice my energy levels go, I pick up random things. So I should probably be getting that from my food.
So exactly. So underpinning every module that we did in college, it always came back to diet and lifestyle. So rather than, I know the easy option sometimes can be, oh, I'll just take this pill. But it's so much more beneficial to your health to get all our nutrients from our food. So the idea behind the book, I suppose, they're so simple, the recipes. I promise you, if you go home and try one tonight.
Even I can do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like all of the ingredients. And that's what I really wanted for the book. I wanted people, anybody to be able to pick it up and make the recipes. Someone, for example, like you, who, you know, your meal is tea and toast, that you can look at the book, flip through the pages and think, oh, I could make that. So they're all about 30 minutes or less and simple ingredients that you would have at home.
And I think that's would make it less scary, because for me, it's scary. It's actually, and I know that might sound really childish, but it's just the truth. As somebody who can't cook, I find it scary when I approach these kind of meals, even though I know that's what's good for me and that's what my body wants.
No, totally. And it is all about like our mental attitude. Like I know myself, I have so many recipe books at home, but if I'm flicking through them and I don't have those things in the press, it's too daunting. I'm not even going to bother. Whereas with this, I just wanted it to be so simple, easy to follow. And that's kind of the whole ethos behind it.
Now,
well,
before I actually get into any more questions on, I suppose, the insides of our bodies, looking at you, you're glowing. Like your skin is literally, so what are your tips to glowing skin?
Water.
I think really?
I drink so much water.
How much?
Well, for me at the minute, because I'm breastfeeding as well, so you have to have even more water, but I'm just constantly thirsty. So I probably have about 4 litres maybe a day. I know, that's a lot. It's a lot of water.
I find it daunting to drink. I used to try, you know, those big jugs.
Yeah.
Not the things, everybody has
great
them.
Great ones now, like the kind of water ones that you take around. Where's mine from? Headspace, they do a great one.
And they kind of are encouraging you, oh, well done, it's 1 p.m. you're almost there.
Yeah.
I find when I fill one of those, I look at it and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get through that today.
Yeah, it's just kind of a habit. Again, building habits. You have to start somewhere and just repeat day by day.
I think there's a really interesting section in the book on immune health, which is something I am confused about, because I thought inflammation was a natural thing, but it's actually, as I'm reading, a source of problems.
So a small amount of inflammation obviously is okay, but where it becomes a problem and it fuels kind of chronic diseases and really simple things like skin conditions as well, like if you're suffering from acne and things like that, if you look at your diet and you're having a lot of processed foods, a lot of sugar, that's creating inflammation in the body, saturated fats as well, and that contributes to different kind of comorbidities. So addressing that and trying to reduce the amount of inflammation in the body through your diet can be a really good first step into addressing different kind of health issues.
So there are particular foods that will cause inflammation?
Yeah. So any of your kind of like saturated fats, again, sugar is a big one. And okay. It can lead to like insulin resistance. So insulin is a hormone that helps our sugar get into the cells as such. So that kind of becomes resistant over time if you're having too much inflammation in the body. So yeah, that's a kind of a big one.
What could we do then to boost our immunity? Is there an easy way to do it?
Well, there's a few different steps. So I was researching, it's called the American Gut Project. It's really interesting. It's the biggest longitudinal study on gut health. So they suggest that eating 30 or more plant-based foods per week. Now, I know that sounds daunting, but so things like spices and herbs, they all count. So if you have your bowl of oats in the morning, you add cinnamon, you add nuts, blueberries, like you can already get about 10 different plant-based foods. So you're just trying to build on that week by week.
Okay, so now you're going to probably give out to me, what about those tablets you get in the chemist that you keep in the fridge for your gut?
Okay, so that's a really interesting question because I think the world of probiotics is so confusing. So that's why as well, I think gut health was probably my favourite chapter to write because I wanted to debunk loads of myths and just to have it in simplified terms. But back to the question of the ones in the fridge. They are good because, well, again, depending on the brand, but they reach the intestines alive. So probiotics are live microorganisms. The problem with a lot of the probiotic supplements is that you take them and then they die in transit through stomach acid or whatever else, and they don't actually have any sort of beneficial effect. They're like placebo. But I think I know the brand you're talking about and they're a good one.
Okay, so if it's in the fridge, it's probably good.
More often than not.
Okay, and is it true that your gut is like your second brain?
Yes, yeah. So your gut makes our happy hormones, so, you know, things like serotonin, and then in relation to immune health, it's kind of linked to every aspect of our health. So immune health, about 70% of our immune cells reside in our gut, and sleep as well, our mood, so back to that kind of second brain.
Your gut is linked to sleep?
Yeah, yeah.
So the way to improve your sleep could be to eat more plant-based foods?
Yeah.
Wow.
And fibre. Fibre is really important as well. So you're feeding all your good bacteria too.
What about a hot topic at the moment? I think I see a lot of my mates doing this, making things, fermentation. Yep. And that seems to be something that a lot of people are into. But like, I mean, is it something that we all should be looking at? Because thousands of years ago, there were no fridges. So, exactly. You know, obviously fermentation was essential. Why is it so good for us these days? Why should we be looking back at that?
Well, interestingly, so I spent 6 months in Australia and a lot of their diet included these fermented foods. So things like kefir, kombucha, and you can make these at home, even pickling. Like I think I have a recipe in there on pickling different carrots and radishes and things like that. So it is simple. I mean, it takes a bit of time at the start, but they last for ages in the fridge.
What do they taste like?
I love them. A bit of kimchi. Yeah, you can add that to anything. Or sauerkraut as well is a good one. But it's good because they're filled with those probiotics. So the beneficial good bacteria. So again, into a more kind of diverse microbiome.
So it's coming back to the gut again.
Yeah.
Is it all back to the gut?
I think so. I think a lot of our health stems from the health of our gut and the diversity of our gut bacteria.
Okay. Now, would it be fair to say you know a bit about rugby players and their diets?
A little.
Dunica O'Callaghan from The Breakfast Show here is a big fan of eating everything with the skin on it.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
It's just a lot of, you know, everything in moderation. I'm not someone that says you have to cut that out completely.
Now, if you want to tell Dunica he's wrong, Jess, you can.
I'm not going to do that. But I would say in moderation, because a lot of the time, you know, the saturated fats are underneath the skin. So, you know, that's why you kind of remove that. Does he eat all the fat on the rashers as well?
I don't know, but I'd say he does. I'd say he does, but I do too. So let's talk about a personalised approach, because I think a big problem at the moment is obviously with things like Instagram, anybody can go up and say, I'm a food expert, or look at the meals I'm making. This is really good for you. Do what I'm doing. This is how I got really healthy, or this is how I did A, B and C. And people latch on. They try to mimic. They try to copy. And what suits one person obviously isn't going to suit another person. So how should people look into food and try to make it as personalised as is possible?
So I think, again, it stems back to, well, for me anyway, I'm only going to take advice or information from people that I, you know, are in that field and they're able to give that advice. A big thing for me is seeing kind of people online saying, oh, I took this de-bloating tablet and look how great my stomach is. I don't know if you've seen that at the minute, but that's everywhere. And, you know, I think that can be kind of misleading and there's a lot of misinformation out there as well. So just trying to get reliable information from reliable sources. And then again, you know, bringing it back to you, that this person might have an issue, but that's personal to them. It might not be in relation to you. So you have to kind of tap into what you're feeling and what your needs are.
So it's really important, I think, when people go onto Instagram or TikTok, whatever, wherever it is that you're getting your information from, research the person.
Yeah.
Look into who that person is. Are they qualified? Should they be giving information on food and health and all those kinds of things? Because it's really important that they are qualified if you're going to be mimicking what they're doing. And
definitely
looking into, like you said, have they got a problem that you don't have?
Yeah.
So, you know, try to personalize it. I want to finish up on bone health because, you know, childhood, teen years to adulthood, even, do you remember the song, the ad, Them Bones, Them Bones?
Oh yeah, calcium.
The calcium. Is it true?
Yes, yes.
It is
it's
true.
It's a building block of our bones, so we need it. And through the years, you know, those requirements change. And I think bone health is something in our younger years that we neglect to think about. But,
okay,
you know, our peak bone mass is built between the ages of around 25 and 30. So it's really important, especially for women, because women are more prone to the silent disease of osteoporosis.
Mm.
So that's when you lose your peak bone mass. So the more bone building benefits you can give in those younger years, the more resilient you are to osteoporosis and associated factors when you're older.
Okay, so it should be starting though from childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
And but did you say 35?
25 to 30 is when we build kind of like our peak bone mass.
Oh wow, okay. I didn't know that. I think what I'm taking overall is plants. Focus on the plants. Focus on the gut. I think during COVID, everybody probably tried to go back to cooking at home a little bit, which is good,
yeah.
except for me. I let my husband do it. I stayed in the fast life lane and continue to do the quick food, but I'm trying to change it. You have a really good tip of if you can't pronounce one of the ingredients or you don't recognize it on any processed food, then you shouldn't be putting it in your body.
Yeah. And again, everything in moderation as well.
So would you do that though? Would you look at the ingredients and think, I don't know what that is, so I'm not putting it in my body?
Yeah, more often than not.
Like it's so simple.
Yeah.
But so effective.
Yeah.
So the book is called The Food Pharmacy. I actually have it right here and I was just flicking through it there before we came on air with Jess and the first thing I said was, oh my God, the pictures. The food looks so beautiful. And you told me that when you were photographing the food for the book, you had a
food stylist.
A food
yeah,
stylist.
They were incredible. And Leo did all the food photos and they were just an amazing team to work with.
Like the food so looks grateful. Incredible, Jess.
Yeah.
It really
yeah.
does. A food stylist. I'm assuming this is the person who's placed seen the beautiful flowers on some of the
exactly.
the food in here. I'm just opening it up on caramelized banana porridge.
I love that recipe.
Now that is something I can get down with.
That's in the immune health chapter.
And it says the prep time is only 2 minutes and the cook time is 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Now that's something I can get on board with. Jess Redden's new book, The Food Pharmacy, is on shelves now. It's full of recipes as well as great advice and good, proper information. Thank you so much, Jess.
Thanks so much, Jess.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.